Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges of motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is any experience or feeling you are having as a mum, but you're too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you're alone or that you're doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I want to first of all help you recognize you are not alone and you are not doing it wrong, but most importantly, give you the tools you need to navigate it. This is the emotional village that you need. To make sure you don't miss any other episodes of Mumfessions, please hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening. And if you would like extra tools, please go and visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. Coming up this week.
I feel really guilty about the amount of screen time that we're adding up.
In the absence of the village, we must create our village.
I don't feel angry that it happened to me. I feel sad and disappointed.
There's many women who literally, when their partner breathes, they feel like they're breathing too heavily because they have that level of resentment towards them.
All I see are happy couples everywhere, or I fell in love with my husband more after having a baby.
Of course, that is the experience for some. And that's amazing, isn't it? It's really great. But for a lot of couples, it's not. Today's episode is sponsored by Rescue Remedy, a brand that has been trusted for over 80 years. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during some of the more challenging days of motherhood. A must-have for any busy mum. Okay, at the start of every podcast, I always share a little snippet of an experience I had or my mumfession. But this week, I want to do something a little bit different because it's a tool I use with my clients all the time and I actually use it with myself. I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but I often worry, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right decision? Will I regret this in the future? Will my children hate me for this in the future? Am I doing something wrong? And it can feel really, really overwhelming and confusing. And we can put so much pressure on ourselves. We can almost become paralyzed in terms of making decisions because we're trying to get it right. As mothers, we just want our children to grow up to be happy and healthy. But the reality is that our here and now, right now, is really hard. It's really tricky. And sometimes our actions don't always reflect how we want them to grow up. So this is something you can do to help you step back, to help you get clarity on what actually matters, because we're all running around busy, limited, having no energy, having no time. And sometimes it feels like we're just going through the motions. And very often we have lost our sense of what we need and want, what's important, what matters, what can we actually do today that will make a difference to our children in the future. So sit back, don't even get your pen and paper out for this one, just listen to what I'm about to say. I want you to imagine it's your child's 20th birthday. And I actually get quite emotional when I talk about this. They are making a speech, and that speech is all about you. They are describing their childhood, and they are describing mommy. And what mommy was like. What do you imagine they will say? What do you imagine your little toddler who can't even stand now, that when they're 20, what do you want them to say about their childhood? What is in that speech? Are they saying, mommy was stressed all the time? Mommy was always exhausted? Mommy wasn't happy? Or are they saying, mommy was happy? Mommy was a great mommy. I enjoyed my childhood. What are they going to be talking about? Are they going to be talking about the stuff that you put so much pressure on yourself to do? Are they going to actually remember that? What are the moments that are going to stand out for them? It's not going to be the big days out that we put pressure on ourselves to do. It's not going to be that holiday that you spent a fortune on and worked really hard to get. It's not going to be all of the gifts they got. It's not going to be the stuff that you think matters. They're probably going to be thinking about the Saturday morning in their PJs in front of the TV eating cereal. They're going to remember the small moments. So take the pressure off yourself and stop trying to do the big stuff, because all that matters is you and your happiness. When you're happy, they're happy. Think about it. Write that speech. And then ask yourself, what needs to happen today? What small changes need to happen so that it is more likely that my little toddler right now is going to say that about me when they're 20? Try it. I promise it's really powerful.
Hi, I'm mum to a very strong-willed two-year-old who has never been great for eating. Used to cause me a huge amount of anxiety, or still does sometimes, because she was never able or was never eating as much as anybody else's kids, or any of the Instagram pages that said what my eight-month-old ate in a day used to cause such anxiety for me. But recently, in order to get her to eat, I have resorted to television, so it's great motivation for her. But I feel really guilty about the amount of screen time that we're adding up, because each evening I'll turn the TV on at dinner time so that she'll stand or sit in front of it and I can basically just feed her the food, because she's usually either distracted enough or appeased enough that she'll agree to eat the food for me. And I feel a huge amount of guilt for that.
Wow, this is such an important one. Really, really important one. I have so much to say about it. I had to stop myself from interrupting that on so many levels. Okay, I'm just saying it. Who said, and I'm not taking this back, by the way, and you can all come at me if you want. Who said we can't use screen time? Who said that screen time is the worst thing in the world for our children? Who said that using screen time makes you a bad mother? Because I want to talk to them. I really want to talk to them. Because here's the thing, and I think I spoke about this in earlier episodes. I am not claiming to be an expert in child psychology or child development. There are many amazing experts out there who know a lot more about this than I do. But I know mothers and I know my experience. And I also know that there is a major gap between the ideal of what we should, see, I said should, of what we should do. And I don't dispute any of that academic stuff. I get it. It's ideal. However, the challenge is the village is gone and we don't have the support we need. And so sometimes as mothers, we need to lean into a little bit of screen time and it needs to form part of our village. And that's okay. And I always say this, I would rather my children remember some screen time than remember mommy being angry. I would rather my children remember, oh, I watched that cartoon this morning, than mommy shouted at us. I would rather my children sit down and have some screen time and feel calm and happy than witness me being cross and unorganized and feeling really unhappy. I use screen time for my children. Now, I am saying my children are autistic and for them, it's a really positive thing. It calms them, it regulates them. When they come home from school, it's their safe place. I have zero guilt about it. Zero guilt. And screen time will always form part of my village. So that's the first thing I would say about this. Let that guilt go. You're not doing anything wrong. In the absence of the village, we must create our village. If screen time forms a little bit of that, that's okay. That's absolutely fine. The second thing is, I think she mentioned there the Instagram meals. Oh my goodness. I'm saying this as a mother of three. Toddlers and children don't eat. I see those pictures of the perfectly balanced meals. My children, I have a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old. They don't eat it. You would want to see mealtime in our house. We don't even sit at the table. My children sit on the floor. They sit on the couch. I will put them wherever they'll eat. I will give them whatever they eat. And that's okay. And again, I'm probably coming from the perspective of having an autistic family where my children have massive sensory aversions to food. So I've had to unlearn all the rules of motherhood. I've had to unlearn all of the shoulds, because the reality is my children are never going to eat the food I see on Instagram. My children might eat dry crackers. My children might eat dry pasta. That's it. So how have I managed that? I have unlearned the shoulds. I have managed my expectations. I have set goals that are fairer to what my children can do. For me now, eating a bowl of pasta is success and I celebrate it. I no longer have that stress around mealtime. So if you can relate to this, readjust, redefine what a meal for your toddler looks like and get rid of the shoulds, get rid of the nonsense that is out there. And I'm sure there are some children that eat those lovely meals and that's amazing and good for them. Please tell us how you do it. because I've never succeeded in doing that. Let the guilt go. It sounds like your child is now eating, and if that means in front of a bit of screen time to enable it, that's okay. Don't think too far ahead. They might be doing something different in a month and you'll cross that bridge when it comes. Let that guilt go. You're not doing anything wrong. Screen time is not the enemy. It absolutely isn't. Let it go. Let the guilt go. Once they're eating, they're happy. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. As a busy mum of three, on the days I need a little extra support, I always reach for Rescue Remedy. Trusted for over 80 years, the formula is the same today as when it was developed more than 80 years ago, with the unique combination of 5 batch original flower essences. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during the days when your reserves might be running low. And if, like me, you sometimes find it hard to get a full night of sleep, I like to reach for the Rescue Night Range, which contains white chestnut to help switch off from a racing mind and allow for more restful sleep. And Rescue Night is free from sedatives with no side effects or grogginess the next morning. Rescue Remedy is available from health stores and pharmacies nationwide and also in Supervalue and Tesco. As we're now halfway through this week's episode, if you think you would like to share your mum fashion with me and get a little bit of support with it, please feel free to email it to mindmommycoaching@gmail.com or come and say hi on my Instagram page at mindmommycoaching.
So while I have quite a few mum fashions, the one that's most topical to me at the moment is having to return to work after my third child. He had really bad reflux for the best part of 11 months, if not more, and it was an incredibly difficult time. It was such a stressful year, which had a huge effect on my mental health. It really took its toll on me as a mom, and as a result, it had a huge effect on my family. So while I was doing everything in my power to help him and make him better, I still had 2 small kids, only 4 and 3 at the time, who needed and depended on me, their mom, just as much as he did. I became exhausted, overwhelmed, angry, stressed, and I couldn't seem to find the right help. It got to a stage that I knew that if I didn't fix myself, I was going to break my beautiful kids and my marriage. Now that I have to return to work, I have all the normal anxious feelings, but the biggest thing for me is that I feel I was robbed and that my kids and my husband were robbed of the past 15 months and would love a second chance to make it right. I don't feel angry that it happened to me. I feel sad and disappointed. My second child had colic, so I wasn't under any illusions that it was going to be easy. I mean, how was it ever going to be anything but hard with 3 small kids? But nothing had prepared or could have prepared me for this. I would love a second chance more than anything in this world to go back and fix it. But with the right help and support, I am slowly, very, very slowly learning that you can't go back. You have to leave the past go in order to move forward to hopefully a happier future.
Oh, I think this is one of the hardest confessions we've had. I could actually feel myself having to swallow the tears there because it's programmed into me, and any life coaches or therapists listening, we're programmed that you can't show emotion, you can't show the vulnerability. I'm really, really sad hearing that. And if I'm being honest, the first time I heard it, I cried, probably because it sounded like she was describing my story and I could relate to every part of it. That word that she said, I want to go back, I want to go back, I want to go back, I want a second chance. Like in my bones, I felt like that for 3 years. I just know how she's feeling. And I know as a mother, sometimes you can't put words on that feeling. You don't have to with me. I just know. I know how she feels in her bones. And you can't go back. You can't go back. And like, geez, I'm nearly getting upset. Like it's the grief that comes with. And it's exactly probably why I do what I do. It's the absolute grief of the experience you thought you would have versus what you had. It's the anger of why didn't I get the picture perfect, happy experience that I grew up thinking I'd have of motherhood. It's the inner critic of what did I do wrong? I talk about this about mental health all the time. Every single mental health challenge is real and valid and hard. But there is nothing harder than a mother struggling with her mental health, because we don't get to go back to bed. We don't get to have time out. We have to get up every day and be a mother. And we do it despite all of that. And that is absolutely outstanding. There isn't a word that can define how incredible mothers are who struggle with their mental health and do it anyway, because we don't have the choice of stepping back. So I'm just incredibly sad, because there are other women that had the same experience as me, and it's not right. And it's exactly why I'm doing this, because we need to change the narrative so that women like me and this brave mother doesn't feel like she needs to go back or that she did something wrong. You can't go back. There's nothing back there. There's nothing in your past, but mainly you don't need to go back. You didn't do anything wrong. It sounds like she's saying she almost let everyone down. You didn't. You were still an amazing mother. You can struggle with your mental health and be an amazing mother. Your children always felt your love. You didn't fail. You didn't do anything wrong. It was not your fault that you struggled with your mental health. Like, it was not your fault that the support you needed was not there. Siri, you can hear it. See, you can hear it in my voice. I will always be sad about this, but I can be sad about my past. I can be sad for this mother and still have moved forward. And you can also still be sad about your past, but accept. I need you to accept you didn't do anything wrong. I need you to accept you don't need to go back. I need you to recognize that the future is where your happiness is. And I want you to run to it. I literally want you to embrace it. All those memories you imagined, they're in the future. The life you thought you would have, it's in the future. You mentioned you're going back to work. Race back to work. Go for it. Don't ever look back. Run to the future. That is where your happiness is. Accept. Accept you didn't do anything wrong. You were failed by a system that doesn't support mothers. You had children with reflux. I had a little boy with silent reflux. You weren't supported. You didn't do anything wrong. Run to the future. Let it go. Just let it go. I need you to let it go. Your happiness is in the future. It's not in the past.
I think I hate my husband. Since having our two children, who are now 4 and 2, I resent him so much. I feel like everything in my life changed and nothing in his life changed. He is excelling in his career and I haven't worked properly in over 4 years. I carry all the mental load and I'm starting to feel like his mother. Everything about him annoys me. Is this normal? All I see are happy couples everywhere, or I fell in love with my husband more after having a baby. Did they really though? Because everything for us changed and it's really hard.
This is another unspoken truth of motherhood. There's sort of this perception, isn't it, that you have a baby with your partner and it's this magical bubble. And I can relate to what she said there, where you hear other women saying, I actually fell in love with my partner again, all over again. And absolutely, of course, that is the experience for some. And that's amazing, isn't it? It's really great. But for a lot of couples, it's not. And we need to normalize conflict in relationships after having a baby. We need to normalize that relationships change. We need to normalize that it can be hard. Because why wouldn't it be? When you actually think about it, why wouldn't it be? You have both fundamentally changed, particularly when you become first-time parents. You've changed, they have changed. There's sleep deprivation. You are going through matrescence, postnatal depletion and baby brain, which I've talked about in a previous episode. They've also changed. And it's hard. It's hard. You're both figuring out how to live again. And I think it's about recognizing this is actually a challenging time for us. What do we both need? And how do we do it? But that starts with you. You have to sit down and go, what do I need? What do I want? And how does my partner support me in that? But also maybe identify, what do I miss about my partner? Is it that carefree time? Is it that actually you just feel massive resentment because you don't feel supported or seen or heard? What is it? Because you can't overcome it until you figure out what it is. I also hear this a lot about the career piece. You know, my partner has excelled in their career. I've had to take a step back. And it can feel really hard if you're someone who's really passionate about your career and you loved it. So again, think about, what do I need from them to balance that out? Is it that I don't feel seen or heard, that I'm making this sacrifice to raise our family or take time out? What is it that you're angry about? Think about it. Because I recently did a poll on my Instagram account that I think said it was quite high. I think it was about 85% of my followers said they have experienced conflict in their relationship since becoming a mother. Again, I didn't know this when I became a mother. My husband and I quickly found it out, let me tell you. And I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. But it's normal. And we need to normalize that. And I think probably growing up in Ireland, if anyone's from Ireland listening, we don't deal with conflict well. We don't deal with any of that. You don't speak about it. That happens behind closed doors. It's almost seen as a bad thing. But let's redefine it. It's not a bad thing. All conflict is a difference of opinion or trying to share how you really feel and talking it out. For me, conflict is how you find the solution. It's not something that carries shame or that's something bad. So just know that you're not alone. Yes, there are women that have that amazing transformation with their partner. But then there's many women who literally, when their partner breathes, they feel like they're breathing too heavily because they have that level of resentment towards them. So just figure out, what do I need and want? What role do they play in it? What conversation do I need to have? And just take it slowly. I can't believe we have come to the end of the first season of Mumfessions. I genuinely hope that if you've listened, you have felt seen, you felt heard, you felt supported. I did this podcast because I wanted a platform where mums got to hear the voices of other mums, where they got to learn that other mums are actually feeling the same things as them. I wanted to give mums like you a voice so that we could try to maybe change the narrative around what a good mum is or what motherhood really feels like. I really, really hope you can continue to join us as we build on this podcast. So I'm genuinely asking, on whatever platform you're listening, to please leave me a review, to please share this with a friend, to please hit follow and subscribe. I can't tell you the amount of work that I've put into this and how much I had to dig deep to work on this. And I just really, really hope that this is a motherhood podcast that has made a difference in your life. Thank you all for listening. And mind yourself. Mind mommy. Take care of mommy. It's not selfish. It's essential. Just unlearn all the rules of motherhood and do whatever you need and want to do. Ditch the shoulds. You know what you need and want. Just do it. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. Mumfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast production manager was Charlotte Mason. The podcast producer was Saffron Mirza. And the podcast production assistant was Abby Sandler. This podcast was recorded in Take 9 Studios in Cork.